Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Christian Church, Casper. We're very blessed to have you all join us today. If the weather is not your cup of tea, I'm sure it'll be different later. Let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship by quieting our cell phones and listening to Lonnie's prelude. Thank you, Lonnie. We have several announcements. First, Teacher Annette has an announcement.
Anyway, this week we're having our preschool fundraisers. It's on Tuesday night, and it's at Frontier Middle School and Casper Classical Academy. The kids are learning about it's a small world after all. A couple weeks ago, the kids toured around the world, and some of the members of the church came and shared with the kids lessons about different countries. And so our program, we decided we would do about the world being small and how we're all one and the same. And we're singing lots of really neat songs, and you're all welcome to come. It's at 6 o'clock at the cafeteria at Frontier Middle School CCA. While you're there, we're having our 50-50 drawing for $1,000. So if anybody would like to buy a raffle ticket, we're selling just 100 raffle tickets for $20 a piece, and I have about 20 left. So anybody who's interested in purchasing a raffle ticket, I'll be outside after church. And then the last thing we have is on Friday, we are having Superhero Day at preschool. And we're starting our day learning about the ultimate superhero. We'll have chapel, and Pastor Cynthia will teach us about the ultimate superhero God. And then from there, the kids will go to the parking lot, and we'll have a lot of community helpers in the parking lot. And they're going to learn about that superheroes just aren't Spider-Man and Batman, that they are the firemen and all the people in the community who help us every day. And so that starts at 9 for chapel, and then 9:30, all the superheroes will be in the parking lot. So you're all welcome to come and enjoy the excitement that the kids are going to see by having all these special guests come to our school. So that's, and then we have one more event if you have small children or know of anybody at small has small children. At the mall on the 30th, we're having the celebration of young children. And there's going to be, I know, at least 10 booths, but we're hoping for 20, where the kids can come and participate in different activities with preschools and different centers around around town. So thank you.
And Mike Ward has an announcement.
Good morning. You only wear orange to church for two occasions. One is when the Broncos win the Super Bowl, and that already took place. That's old news. The other is when you're talking about the pumpkin patch, and that is what I'm doing today. The weather is more like October than actually, October was better than this last year by a long ways. If you would take a moment and look on the blue sheet and down about the fifth announcement, it talks about the pumpkin patch. I have accepted the challenge of being the patch coordinator for 2016. I have some big shoes to fill, and that first there was Jenny Black, and she did an awesome job. And then Jennifer Grooms took over and continued that awesome job. And now it's my turn, and I hope I can fill those shoes. We need some people to volunteer to get things rolling. We're about 6 months out, but there's a lot of things to do between now and October. So if you are interested in being on the pumpkin patch committee, when you fill out the attendance slip, write your name, next to your name, write yes, pumpkin patch, or something like that on there, so I can start getting this committee put together, and then we will set up a meeting, hopefully for sometime this coming week. No farther out than by Monday of next week. And what we're really looking for right off the bat is someone to help with the finances, keep track of the $40,000 we're going to raise so we can get 40% commission. And also we need a sub-coordinator so when they can't get a hold of me, they can get a hold of somebody that has an idea of what's going on. So this is not a Christian education project anymore. It is now a church project. So if you're a member of First Christian Church, take a moment and step up and put in a little bit of time. If it's one project, this is one that does a lot of good for our community, our church, and for our youth. Thank you.
And Catherine has an announcement.
All right, so we are doing our t-shirts and sweatshirts still, and the deadline changed to the 25th, so there's another week. So you can either get your sweatshirt, a hooded sweatshirt, or zip up. Both of those are great, and then we have white t-shirts. All right, if you want 2X or 2 5X, it's going to be another $2 for pricing. And then we change the deadline. All right, Pizza Ranch is the 27th still, 5 to 9. Come enjoy because they're really good food. Say that you're with the youth, and there's going to be a 50-50 raffle. And if you want a t-shirt and you don't, just come find me, and I will sell you a t-shirt.
So be sure to read the blue sheet because that has a lot of details. We're still looking for a pianist and a bookkeeper. So if anyone is talented in those areas or knows someone that is, get their information to the church. And, oh, if you would like to read scripture or provide special music, there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. So let's stand and welcome each other. Be sure to sign the friendship sheet and put down that you want to be on the Pumpkin Patch Committee. And pass it back to the center aisle, and then we'll sing hymn 514. Join me in the call to worship. Welcome to the living stone, the source of life.
Jesus is our cornerstone, God's foundation on which we stand.
We are called to be living stones, built into a holy house.
Christ wants us to use our lives to build a dwelling place for God's love.
Come, Holy One, dwell within us now. Please pray with me. O God, without you we have no purpose or identity. Without you we have no hope. But through you we are redeemed. Through you we are knitted together into one community. Through you, we are one holy nation made up of people of all nations. Guide us this day as we offer you our praise. Guide us this week as we strive to serve you through offering our love to others. May you always be our hope and our focus as we say the words you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. We're changing the order of worship just a little this morning so that our children have the opportunity to experience our sharing prayer concerns and joys. If you would take a moment to look on the back of your bulletin, our card shower today is for teacher Amanda. She teaches our youngest class at the preschool. Amanda had surgery a couple weeks ago. She is out of the hospital, but we don't know yet when she'll be able to return to teaching duties. Prayers of support and healing and recovery for Amanda. Even if you don't know her, you might write a prayer card just encouraging her at this time. A prayer of joy shared at chapel today was Thanksgiving for Greg Schutz, our property co-chair, who was shoveling the walk even as we met for worship today. On the table in front of us, there's a collection of fleece blankets. There are more blankets downstairs in Fellowship Hall during coffee hour today. You're invited to go and look at the blankets. Lay your hands on them, touch them, say a silent prayer of blessing for whoever might be receiving them. Our Fleece Blanket Project group met yesterday, and they made 28 blankets to add to the total that has already been given. Six of those blankets were made from fleece donated in memory of June Wilcox, whose memorial service was held yesterday. We continue to pray for June's family, for her daughter John and son-in-law Don, for her son John and daughter-in-law Anne. The blankets in front of us have a special story behind them. If you come up after worship and look closely, you'll notice that two of them have a pattern of anchors on them. One of the wonderful aspects of our sandwich ministry and our blanket ministry is not just the gifts that are given to people in need, but the relationships that are formed. Through the sandwich ministry, Debbie met people who needed blankets. The blanket ministry grew in response to that need. Debbie met a woman named Teresa who had served in the Navy. And when she was close to death, Debbie gave her a blanket, a gift from our church, a sign of prayers. Teresa's sister Mary was so touched by that gift that after Teresa died, Mary gave Debbie money to buy fleece. She asked specifically that it have either anchors or lighthouses on it in memory of Teresa. So Debbie found fleece with pictures of anchors on it. The blanket in front of us this morning has been made for a woman named Maggie. Maggie is 90 years old, and she also served in the Navy. She left the United States Navy in 1952. And tomorrow morning, Maggie will receive a Navy blanket in memory of Teresa. It's just an example of the connection of relationships and the circle of caring that extends through the ministries of this congregation. We rejoice that the Huckfelts are in church with us this morning. We continue to pray for recovery after a serious car accident. We are so glad that the whole family is doing okay. Prayers for exchange students this time of year is exciting for all students. There are proms happening, graduation is coming. Some exchange students are excited about their time in America, and some are eager to be headed home. Prayers for all of our students, especially for those who will be graduating from high school, who are looking towards college and new adventures in life, that God will watch over these young people. Those of you on the email prayer list know that this week Mike had requested prayers for a relative, Arlen Tidman. Arlen has gone to heaven, and we give thanks today that his suffering has ended. He is no longer in pain. He is in a better place, and we pray for comfort for those who will be missing him and grieve his passing. As always, we have a long list of prayer concerns on the back of the bulletin. If you'll look over those, people with health needs, people living with cancer, our senior members struggling in different ways, some unable to be present in worship. It's good to see Lorna and Roger here today. Lorna will have surgery coming up at the end of the month. Prayers for her. Mary Burgess will be having cataract surgery later this month. Prayers for her as well. The missionary we're lifting today is Karen Campbell Nelson, who serves in Indonesia. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary for you to sign to send greetings to First Christian Church in Salida. Nestor Gomez is the pastor there. He's a dynamic leader in our region. Prayers for Nestor and the church that he leads. Prayers for people in Japan as they recover from earthquakes. And now, even with all these prayers swirling in front of us, I know that there are more in our hearts and our minds. What else do we want to share today as joys or concerns as God's people? Steve.
I want to reiterate your prayer of Thanksgiving. Half a second would have made a whole completely different story. There was 8 people involved in that accident, and out of the 8, all of us walked away. There's no reason to any of us should. God was definitely on that corner.
We praise God for watching over all 8 people who were in that 2-car accident in Colorado, that all of you walked away. Thank the Lord. Judy. We continue to pray for Judy and her family as they get used to Dad being in heaven instead of here. Please know that our prayers continue to surround you in the days ahead. Madison.
Prayers for one of my really good friends, Brianna DeGroote. She's been having knee injuries probably since her freshman year of high school, and she's had multiple surgeries on her knee, and it looks like she'll have to have a knee replacement. By the time she's probably 30. But her father is most likely going to be laid off, and so they're going to lose their health insurance, and she needs another knee surgery. But if he gets laid off, there's no chance of her getting that knee surgery, so just prayers that they can figure something out and that her dad hopefully doesn't get laid off. But in the event that it does happen, prayers for her that she'll find healing somehow.
Prayers for Briata and her family, for a young lady needing knee surgery and a dad who may be laid off, which means no health insurance. Prayers for many others who are facing the struggle of paying for medical care and looking for work. Jennifer.
Prayer of joy. What I'll be doing in the pumpkin patch this October is bringing a brand new baby that Nicholas and Maggie will be having at the beginning of October.
We rejoice with all of the groom's family and pray for a healthy pregnancy for Maggie and the next little groom's generation to come.
Back here.
I always like to pray for all the juniors who are taking the ACT test this Tuesday. The test is going to take about 5 hours, so we really need your prayers for the test. That goes well.
Prayer is not just for seniors graduating, but for juniors taking the ACT test on Tuesday. Prayers for students who are stressed and anxious that they might do their best. Becky.
Billy Triplett is not doing well.
We continue to pray for Billy. Our song of prayer today is in the Purple Chalice Praise Songbook. If you would turn to page 55, we will sing together, "This is Holy Ground." Our children at this time are dismissed to go to children's church to worship and wonder. And as the children are leaving the sanctuary, we will enter together into a spirit of prayer as we pray together in silence for all those concerns and joys that we have named today. Holy God of life and mystery, where you are, the ground on which we stand is holy. Because of your Spirit, the work that human hands do becomes holy. You call us to live holy lives. Forgive us, O God, for those times when we sin and fall short. Renew your Spirit within us, that the words of our mouths, the actions of our lives, the thoughts of our minds, the very beating of our hearts may be holy. We pray this day for all those that we have named. We ask you to watch over teacher Amanda in her time of recovering. We pray for Briata, a young woman struggling with knee issues, having had multiple surgeries and facing more. And we pray for her family and others living under the shadow of possible layoffs. We pray for those who are unemployed, for those who are concerned about paying for health care, for the basic necessities of food and shelter and clothing. We thank you, God, for calling this church to respond to a community in need through the sandwich and blanket ministries. We ask this day a special blessing upon the blankets before us and those gathered in Fellowship Hall that were made yesterday by holy hands. We pray that each recipient of a blanket will feel the warmth of your love, providing them shelter and watching over. O God of grace, continue to shelter those who mourn. We gaze upon the beauty of fresh flowers in the front of our sanctuary given in memory of June. And we thank you for the ways in which your Spirit graced the garden of her life, for the gifts that bloomed through her. With joy, we give thanks for the support and prayers of our church family. And we continue to pray together for Jane Baker's family, for Judy Baker's family, for Mike and those who are missing Arlen, for all who grieve. Holy God, we ask you to be with Billy Triplett as again he struggles with health. And we pray for students who are struggling. We ask you to be with Amber and other juniors who this Tuesday will take the ACT exam. May each one of them do their best so that the knowledge they have is reflected through this assessment tool as a step towards a brighter future. We pray for seniors eager for graduation that they might continue to focus on study and do the work ahead. And we thank you for exchange students and families that welcome young people from other countries into their homes. Thank you, God, for being with the Huckfelts, for watching over a corner street in Loveland, Colorado, a week ago Friday night. Lord, in that serious crash, there could have been loss of life or permanent injury, but by your grace, 8 people walked away. Thank you. Thank you, God, for being present in Japan, where people even now are recovering from earthquakes and living with aftershocks. We ask that your church and people in the world might be graced with generous hearts to respond to neighbors in need, whether near or far. Bless with courage and passion the ministry of Karen Campbell Nelson and the work she does as a missionary in Indonesia. Be with Nestor Gomez and the members of First Christian Church in Salida. And Lord, close to home, we pray that you will be with the groom's family, with Jennifer and Ted as they prepare to welcome their first grandchild, with Nicholas as he prepares to be dad. And bless Maggie. Bless her with joy every day as life grows within. Lord, for all the prayers that we bring to you, for those that stir our hearts deeply, for those that make us laugh out loud, for those that cause us to weep, we give thanks for your listening presence when your people pray. Thank you for hearing and answering. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. In the season between Easter and Pentecost, we're sharing together a sermon series focusing on our senses. Last Sunday, we were called by the psalmist to taste and see that God is good. During communion, we were invited to reflect on the flavor of the home-baked bread, the small wafer that we tasted. Throughout this past week, I've been thinking about the flavors of God. I've been remembering how my mom used to bake bread from scratch. To me, I think heaven might taste like home-baked bread. I know for some of you, God has many different flavors, flavors that touch your heart deeply. Another recipe that my mother mastered in her life was homemade from scratch chocolate cake. I have the pan that she used to make a chocolate sheet cake in, and I have the recipe book that the recipe is found in, but it's not the original. That's still at Dad's house. You know it's the original because when you open it up to the chocolate cake recipe, there are smears and splatters of chocolate dough. That's how my sister and I know that's Mom's recipe, the messy one. Last night, Charles and I had dinner with Jane Baker and June Wilcox's family, and they were telling stories about June. Her son John told a story about how June was a really good cook, too. But there was one thing that she never quite mastered. He said her sheet cake always sank just a little in the middle. He said he didn't mind because that meant there was extra frosting on that part. So that was the piece he always wanted. Apparently, her mother-in-law, who lived in Nebraska, was an expert baker of sheet cakes. Norma was her name. One time, Norma had been to visit, and Norma and June had made a sheet cake together. June watched carefully. She made extra notes. She paid attention to exactly how the process worked. The cake rose perfectly. A week later, Norma was back in Nebraska, and June was ready to try on her own. Carefully, intentionally, she followed every step of the recipe, put the pan in the oven, and eagerly watched. Partway through the baking, sure enough, in the very middle of the sheet cake, there was a little dip. John said he overheard his mother quietly mutter to the stove of her kitchen, "If Norma were here, you would rise." My friends, Jesus is here, and so we rise. Even as we taste unleavened bread and share the Lord's Supper with one another, the Spirit of life rises within us with joy and hope as we commune with our resurrected Lord. All are welcome to share in the Lord's Supper. We'll prepare for communion by singing together number 689, "We Are Not Our Own." We'll sing verses 1 through 4 and verse 6.
Thank you.
As we come to this table, the living house of God is being built in our lives, joined together one with another. The bread is baked, the wine is poured, and our spirits draw near to taste of the Lord. We come to the Lord's table remembering that night when Jesus met with his friends. And as they were eating, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Blessed God, we receive this bread and this cup of blessing, remembering the price that was paid for our salvation. We give thanks for the willingness of Jesus to suffer, die, and become victorious, that we might have eternal life. How grateful we are for the promise of the presence of your Holy Spirit within our lives, if we call upon you to be our everlasting counselor and guide. Accept, our God, the commitment that we bring in these moments of rededication at this table of our Savior. Bless our living in the days ahead. Amen.
We are the people of God. But that is a calling of responsibility, not of privilege. We are given mercy so that we may share mercy. That requires giving of ourselves in the care of others. And it requires that we unite our gifts and resources as one people of God. When we give of our gifts to strengthen God's church, we strengthen ourselves as God's holy people on earth. Let us give as we are able and as we are called. The diaconate will now collect the offering. Please pray with me. O God, you have given us more than we can ever give back. You gave your own Son for our salvation. We have shared the abundance of your kingdom. Now we give of ourselves that we may share the abundance with others. Help us to give even as you have given to us, and help us to love as you have loved us. Bless all that is given to your church today, throughout this week, that all nations may know your mercy, and that we may truly be the people of God on earth for this age. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Today we will be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you should show that you are a letter of Christ, prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God.
Our next reading of Scripture comes from 1 Peter, the second chapter. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that anthem, those two beautiful medleys woven together. I invite you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, you are the cornerstone, the foundation on which our lives are built. Come and speak anew to your people that we might be your living stones. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they might be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On your way into worship this morning, everyone was offered a small stone, a little rock of one kind. Find your rock and hold it in your hand. We have some extras. Did anyone miss getting a rock on your way into church this morning? You know, these rocks, they're all different shapes and sizes. Some of them are kind of smooth. Some are kind of rough. A few are perfectly round, and some are jagged. They're different sizes. I watched some of you carefully picked a little teeny tiny one, and others grabbed a great big one with some heft and weight to it. The one I happened to pick up has two different colors, two different minerals kind of mixed together. What color is your rock? Why did you pick that particular stone? Maybe it was just the first one your hand touched, or maybe you chose it. It kind of spoke to you in some way. Feel that rock. Press on it with your fingers. It has some substance. Even the little tiny ones are pretty hard. They're solid. In our sermon series of experiencing God through our senses, I wanted to talk again about touch, and I wanted you to have something you could actually touch. Hold on to that stone during the sermon this morning. If you want to keep it this week, you're welcome to take it home with you. Rick's has a place already picked out. It's going to live in an aquarium with some other stones. Maybe you're going to put it in your pocket and you'll find it later in the week and be surprised and remember that God has a solid presence in your life. Maybe you're like Lindy. You've already got lots and lots of rocks. I'm not offended if you put it back in the basket. You don't want to take it home. It's okay. Hold on to that rock this morning and let God talk to you as you touch something solid and tangible. In Scripture, there are numerous stories about rocks and stones. Rocks and stones show up often in the Bible in different places and in different ways. Some of the stories about stones in Scripture are rather violent. It's probably a good thing that our youngest children are at Worship and Wonder, because they don't need to even hear me mention the story of a woman in the Old Testament who used a stone to pound a tent peg through the temple of an enemy at sleep. There's more than one story in Scripture about people being stoned. A crowd of people gathering around an accused victim, and everyone in that crowd holding a stone much bigger than the stones we're holding today. When a person is stoned, it's usually by an angry mob. There's kind of this mob mentality, meaning out justice, and it's a violent act. There's a story in Scripture about Jesus intervening in a stoning. A woman caught in the very act of adultery. I always wondered, what were the people doing who caught her? Why were they around? In that story, Jesus looks up and asks the people if they are without sin to cast the first stone. One by one, you hear the sound of stones dropping out of people's hands as they turn and walk away from this woman. Then Jesus says to her with great mercy, "I neither will condemn you. Go and sin no more." So in Scripture, stones are tools of violence and a tool of forgiveness and mercy. There are the stones that pave the road headed into Jerusalem where Jesus and the disciples walk on that first Palm Sunday. And when the religious authorities tell Jesus to quiet down his apostles, he says, "If these people were silent, even the stones would cry out." Perhaps the most famous stones that have a connection with the Bible are the stones that were used to build the temple of God in Jerusalem. During the reign of Solomon, the temple was built with huge, massive blocks of stone. It took many people to move them into place and to build the foundation of the temple. In Jerusalem now, the temple itself no longer stands, having been destroyed long ago by the Romans, but the foundation is still there. Peg and I have visited the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall, a wall of massive blocks of stone where Jews from around the world come today to bow and to pray fervently, to slip slips of paper in the cracks between the stones with prayers written on them. Those ancient stones bear testimony to God's presence in the world for generations. When the letter of Peter was written, the people who received it surely knew of the temple and those stones. It would be the first image that would come to mind if someone said, "Let us build a house for God." They would picture the temple in Jerusalem and the huge, massive stones. And yet Peter, in his letter, speaks of a different kind of building. Come to him, to Jesus, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. This text, this passage from Peter, is calling us to be built into the house of God. Not to build a church with bricks and mortar, but to be the church. Peter is calling us to be the stones which God will use to build a dwelling place for love in the world. One stone, no matter how great or massive or intricately carved, one stone cannot a single building make. It takes all of us together, being built together by the Holy Spirit, being bonded together by the cement of the Spirit's love. It takes all of us to bear witness to God in the world, to become that spiritual dwelling place. Hold your stone for a minute and ask yourself, what does it mean to you to be a living stone for God? Peter goes on to quote various scriptures. Let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, for it stands in Scripture. See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, a stone that makes them stumble, a rock that makes them fall. Peter here is quoting both a passage from the Psalms and a verse from Isaiah, speaking of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the foundation, the key block around all else is built. When I was in undergraduate studies at the School of Architecture and Planning at the University of New Mexico, one of the courses we took was construction management. I still remember a film that the instructor showed us. It was kind of a classic example of what can go wrong if you don't plan well. Anyone who's been involved in a construction project knows that it's common for there to be delays. One of the challenges is that each stage of construction requires different materials, and you need to time carefully the arrival of the right supplies at the right time. If your foundation isn't laid yet, there's no point in having roof rafters sitting in the way that other workers have to walk around to get to the site to do their work. In the film, the projector, the professor showed on a projector, a crane came and moved into place a huge, massive stone. The architect had designed this very creative, unique building that was going to have an impressive raw block of unfinished marble as a visible cornerstone. It was going to be engraved on the side by a master mason with a selection of poetry. It was a key piece to the project. But the stone came too soon. The foundation area had not yet been prepped. The place that stone was meant to be laid wasn't ready, so the stone had to be set to the side. What followed was one frustration after another as workers literally tripped over this huge, massive stone. Jesus Christ is the key piece in God's plan for building salvation in the world. For those who meet Jesus and discover relationship with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus becomes the solid foundation on which we stand, on which our very lives are built. Everything we do as Christians revolves around the fact that at our core, there's a relationship with God. We no longer fear death, for we know eternal life is ours. We're no longer ashamed of sin because we know our sins are forgiven. For those who do not yet know God through Christ, even stories about Jesus can cause them to stumble. With confusion and disbelief, with doubt and despair, they get tripped up. It is still true even today that Jesus is a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. The stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner. The Jewish leaders of Jesus' day, some of them did not understand that God was sending the Messiah to be in their very midst. And so they rejected the carpenter from Nazareth, Joseph's son. Some of them were involved in a plot to do away with him, and yet God used even that to bring glory. What role does Jesus play in your life? Is the presence of God so visible that it is constantly with you? Or is Jesus more like a little pebble in your shoe? You step on him once in a while, and it's kind of an annoyance. You wish you could kick it out, but if you don't show up to church, you feel guilty, so you keep coming. Well, Jesus wants to be more than a pebble in our shoe. Jesus wants to be the rock on which we stand. Jesus invites us to join in building God's kingdom on earth. We are called to be stones, solid, each unique and different, but each having a place that fits together in what God is doing and what God is building. Another place in Scripture where we encounter stones is on a couple of stone tablets that Moses carried down from a mountain, engraved with 10 commandments, 10 laws for living as people who follow God. In his letter, his second letter to the church at Corinth, Paul invites us as followers of Christ to become a letter of recommendation written for God in the world. You yourselves are God's letter, written on our hearts to be known and read by all. We are called to show that we are a letter of Christ, prepared and written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. If your neighbor is your family and friends, your coworkers, if the person behind or in front of you at the line at the store could open your chest and look at your heart and read what was written there, would they see anger and jealousy, or would they see love? What letter are you writing on the heart of your life? The heart that beats inside yourself, the one who's called to be a living stone for God. So throughout this week, if you happen to touch or hold a stone, step on some gravel in the alley when you carry out the garbage, or see a majestic stone on a Wyoming bluff when you're driving, I invite you to reflect again during the week. How is God using you to be a living stone, to help build a dwelling place for the very Spirit of Christ in our world? May we be living stones, letters written on the human heart, those who bear witness to God to Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 273, Built on the Rock. We'll stand and sing together. If there's anyone looking for a church home or longing to give your heart to God, you're invited to come forward this morning. Remind you that there's a time of fellowship waiting downstairs in Fellowship Hall, coffee and refreshments, a chance to refresh our souls in conversation with each other. And you're encouraged to look at the blankets that are there, touch and feel their softness, and pray for those who will receive them. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, our cornerstone, be with us this week that we might be your living stones, witnessing to your love in a world in need. Bless us now, O God, with your Spirit, your grace, and your mercy, that we might go forth in peace to love and to serve in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
A mighty fortress is our God.